Yo, listen, it's Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
No, we ain't doing this again.
Kimmy. No.
Yes, I am. I'm cashing in.
Get through what? Your cash. What do you got over
no.
there? No, you're cashing
don't
in.
You see this little? I'm cashing in. You see, I went perfect last week. Perfect. I beat every single old person on the VCP.
Whoa.
Every single old person on the VCP I beat. So I'm cashing this in. I am host. I beat Mike too. It was a perfect week for me.
She's graduated. Now she's cashing in, taking over. Maybe I'm a little unprepared, but that's besides the fact. All right, Kimmy, you have the helm for this one. I'm hosting next time. The inmates are running the asylum here, all right?
Well, actually, I'll be on a cruise, so I'll be in the middle of the ocean in Bermuda. So, yeah, you will be hosting, because I won't be in the country. I'll be on a boat.
Wow, all over the place.
So, yes.
Wow. Nunez in the chat saying, yeah. All right, Kimmy, you take the helm here. What do you got for us? She cashed in.
Yeah, I did. Damn right. Hi, welcome. I'm here. This is not Rob's show. Why do we let Rob in here? I have no idea. We are here because there's another pay-per-view this weekend. It's Money in the Bank in the UK. That's crazy. But we had to bring some really special people along because I couldn't deal with Rob 2 weeks in a row. That would have been a little crazy. So, from the Socially Distanced Podcast, she's back. We haven't had her on since, I believe, WrestleMania. I'm repping my WrestleMania baseball jersey for the occasion. Hi, Amanda.
Hello. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here. And Kimmy, can I dare say that, is it Judgment Day for Rob right now?
It is.
Okay. I was holding on to that.
Nice.
And I did it.
Nice.
Yay.
Nice.
He is, I don't know, he is using excuses now. He was late because he's a dog dad.
That's fair.
That's his excuse.
Rob who?
It's a good excuse.
Thank you.
It is a good excuse.
No, it's not.
Thank you, Mike.
Be prepared.
So cute.
Be prepared. Okay, he could be right, your dog's right next to you. Champ could be right next to Rob. Who's stopping him?
We'll see.
Nobody.
We'll see. Maybe.
Anyway.
Maybe later. We'll see what happens.
Now, on to our next guest. He's the not so Mr. Perfect. Because like I said, I beat him. I beat him last week. I went perfect. So he's not perfect anymore. He's also from the Sweet Chins Musing Podcast. What's up, frenemy?
Hey, best friend. No, it's true. I chose to take one loss because for the sake of our article, I went different in one match that I thought could go either way, but at the end of the day, you know, you get to write the article first, so I conceded, and you went perfect, and I went nearly perfect, and I'm glad to see that I'm finally rubbing off on you, and you finally are getting the hang of this. It took you long enough, but I'm honored to be here, and as always, it is an honor and a privilege for all of you to have me here, so thank you.
It's true.
Nope, none of us said that. No one here said that.
Now we're the perfect podcast, though, because he's here.
Excited, though. Yeah.
It's a good team.
And we're a great team. We're a great team.
Sure. Now he is the owner of a new puppy, and that's why he was late to this podcast. He plays some drums. This is not his show. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob who? It's Rob who? It's Where's Vicky? And now it's Where's the Puppy?
Where's so, Champ?
Where's Champ?
Where's Champ?
We'll see what happens. Shane Fair, the fairest one of all, best announcer on the indies, in the chat right now, saying, imagine when Rob is with a human child. Yes, a puppy is a lot of work, but I love that little guy. What can I say? He's a cutie.
I'm glad. Now, before we get started, I have an essay that I was sent to read. It is all of our sponsors. This might take a while. I'm going to try my best to Excalibur it.
Yeah, that's
please
the way to
no
go.
One time me. Here we go. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at English Town Flea Market in New Jersey. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. And please welcome in our new sponsor, Global Wrestling Family. GWF is all about inclusivity and celebrating a common love for pro wrestling amongst the fans and wrestlers. T-shirts, hats, and more merch is available now. Join the group on Facebook at Global Wrestling Family and be sure to follow them on Instagram at Global Wrestling Family. There's no spaces. They don't do that on Instagram in case y'all didn't know that. Please welcome in another new sponsor for the month of June, Sam's Pizza and Subs, located in Glen Burnie and Elk Ridge, Maryland. If you are in or near Glen Burnie or Elk Ridge, be sure to order on their website. Shout out to our other new sponsors, Bubba John and Kim Call, who will be at Icons of Wrestling this weekend. They want to shout out their amazing daughter, Gabby, who they are so proud of all of their accomplishments. So congratulations, Gabby. And then our final sponsor. This is record timing. Rob can never do it this fast. Fair. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may not have seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source of information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook of Wrestling All Day and Wrestling All Night.
Great job, Kimmy. That was awesome. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, now my eye is slowly dying. But we're here. And WWE is hopping over to the UK. Most of the talent's already there because it's Money in the Bank season. We have 7 matches to talk about. There's apparently a huge surprise planned. Logan Paul's on the card. That's all I got. So our first match is for the Intercontinental Championship, and this might be the first of many surprise returns, if you're going to believe Twitter. We have Gunther versus Matt Riddle. And while I don't believe that Randy Orton will be appearing this weekend, there's other fans that do. I don't see Gunther losing because, you know, he's trying to beat Honky Tonk's record to have this whole thing going on. So why would he lose here? I have no idea. Rob, why don't you tell us what you think's going to happen and talk all about Randy Orton?
Nothing on Randy for this one. I hope he's recovering well. I guess it was a back issue. Yeah, as far as this match, no reason for Gunther to lose here. It probably will actually be a really, really good match. That being said, I wouldn't mind seeing Gunther beat up Matt Riddle a little bit. So
I'm a little personal.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Yeah, you knew where I was going with that. I'm going to say Gunther 100%. Lock it up, buddy. It's lock of the night.
Oh, God. Now he's stealing Mike's catchphrases. What world are we living in? Amanda?
This one was pretty straightforward for me because I don't think, as much as I'm excited and I want Randy to come back, I don't think this is it. I can see Randy's return being saved for something like SummerSlam or, you know, something that has where the push is going to be really needed, where the eyes are going to be, you know, we really want to draw attention. I mean, that's why Logan Paul is here for this event. You know, controversial as he is, he draws the eyes. So I don't think, with Logan on the card at this moment, that they're going to put Randy. It's going to take some eyes off of him. So, I don't see Randy coming back right this second. But for me, straightforward, it's going to be Gunther. The reign must continue. And I just don't see Matt Riddle, especially with how this match came together. It was very rushed. It was quick. And just, you know, it was not enough of a build for, I think, Matt to be a real threat to Gunther. Are they going to have a good match? Absolutely. I don't think Gunther's not had a bad match at all at this point. I mean, he is the ring general for a reason. And so I know I don't know if this will open. Maybe it will, but if it opens, it's going to be a good start. It's going to be a nice hot start to get the crowd going if it opens. But I just, Gunther all the way. I'm going with my ring general. I'm here for it and I'm ready.
I'm going to assume that they're going to start with the Money in the Bank match. I mean, that would be common sense. But, you know, they like to rewrite things at the last second the last 2 weeks. So who the hell knows? Mike, are we tying in the beginning of this, or are you going to go with an upset here?
No, no upset here. This is Gunther all the way. I think we are in line for a big return, but it's not going to be Randy Orton, and it's not going to be here. This is Gunther all the way. I think this is going to be match of the night, because as much as we like, as much as I like to knock Riddle, he's not my favorite person by a long shot. But the man can work in the ring. Gunther can certainly work in the ring. And I think it was smart for them, because we are trying desperately to hang on to whatever heat that we can have for Gunther. We're to the point where we want, I mean, people are going to cheer for him just because they respect him so much. And that's not what we want. Like, Gunther is a born and bred heel, and we want to boo him as much as possible. But in order to boo him, we need to give him opponents that he can be booed against. And again, regardless of what your personal feelings are for Matt Riddle, the dude delivers in the ring. And especially, at least for the younger crowd, for the crowd that's not so social media aware, that doesn't care so much about how the person acts on the outside, he's easy to cheer for. So I think this was smart. You're in Europe. There's going to be a large contingency that automatically roots for Gunther. But having him face someone like Riddle, who at least for the younger crowd is easy to get behind, is very smart. It's going to be a great match. This is not where your big surprise return is going to happen. There will be a big surprise return, but it's not going to be here. Gunther gets the win. Clean enough, and he continues his reign of dominance.
Is your surprise return Drew McIntyre?
No.
Okay.
No. Just let it build organically, Kimmy.
I was just asking a question because that was rumored too. I feel like, you know, sure, maybe it could happen here. He was also drafted to Raw.
Right, but
so
no.
You know, it was just a question. Okay, never mind. Speaking of champions and people who are pretty bad, Ronda Rousey is the unified WWE tag team champion. The unified, I'm just gonna go with that. It's her and Shayna versus a returning Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. It's been reported, you know, this is what Ronda wants to do. She wants to be in the tag division. Whoop-de-doo, better than her and Charlotte for the 15th millionth time. Me and Amanda saw that match live. It was pretty rough. Don't want to go back to that. I don't see Ronda losing. They literally just won the NXT titles last week. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, this was the tag team title run that was supposed to happen from the beginning. And because of the hiccups in the road, shall we say, with Ronda and Shayna, we had to pivot. But it seems like this is the opportunity for them to go on a decent stretch. The women's tag team title needs a nice long run to give it some legitimacy. It's a title that's been hot potatoed, especially now that we were including the NXT brand in it. It seems like, okay, well, who's the real champ and what does being the champ mean? I think at least for the foreseeable future, we should keep these titles on Shayna and Ronda. I'm not a Shayna or Ronda fan. I'm a huge Raquel Gonzalez / Rodriguez fan. But I think for the time being, it's best for these titles to stay on them. I think ultimately this leads to them dropping it 6 to 8 months down the line. And eventually we get some sort of Lion's Den MMA Shayna versus Ronda match maybe at WrestleMania next year, but we're so far from that that for the time being we need to just stay on the track that we've already laid and keep them rolling as women's champions and put some respect on that title. So I think Shayna and Ronda are going to defend here. Nothing against Liv or Raquel, I love them both, but I just feel like if we continue to play hot potato with this title, all we're doing is hurting everybody involved.
Rob, is this where you copy and paste?
I think Mike had some great points. Real quick, guys, in the chat, let us know who you got. Welcome in the Andy Smark and Kelvin from the No Gimmicks podcast saying, great show, guys. Appreciate you. Thanks for sponsoring. Guys, again, go check out the No Gimmicks podcast. And Shane constantly trying to pop me, so forgive me if I start laughing.
He's doing a great job. Shane, I'll see you next week.
We'll see you at Warriors. Yeah, best.
Their Facebook page is great, too. I've had a lot of fun. They've had a lot of polls and interactive things that I've had a lot of fun chiming in on.
Love
so
it, man.
Great.
We got to get you out here to Jersey and New York, bro, one day. One day it'll happen.
Philly at the latest.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we'll talk. We'll talk for sure. As far as this match, yeah, Mike had some great points. Obviously, I've never been the biggest Ronda Rousey fan in WWE. I've certainly shared my opinions here, no disrespect. Big Shayna Baszler fan, especially back in the Black and Gold brand, seeing her work some of these house shows in the Jersey area, and just recently seeing her and Ronda at an Atlantic City house show before they were teaming on TV together. I really like that pairing. Despite my opinions about them individually, I think this is the perfect place. It makes sense. I mean, like Mike was saying, elevate those women's tag team titles. In my mind, I feel that elevates them because I feel like they would be unstoppable. They're a little bit meaner, a little bit more ruthless. I'm here for this. I think this is actually, if these their players on the board here on Raw or SmackDown or both, because they have the titles, I think this is the perfect place for them. So I see them definitely retaining. Great to see Liv back. A big fan of Raquel as well. But I think, no question, man, I almost want to do another lock here, but I'm just going to say Ronda and Shayna.
You only get one lock.
Only one, because it has to be one lock.
You used it too early. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You could have waited, and then you could have referenced back to it, but you didn't, so you messed up, and that's why you're not hosting. See how it always comes back to you, not hosting. Amanda, what do you think?
I don't see the titles changing hands either. I think, you know, the women's tag team championships need to be rehabbed. There needs to be, you know, the hopscotch, you know, Mike brought up a great point. Playing hopscotch with these titles is not smart. The women's tag division is already suffering. You know, why make it suffer more by continually changing hands? And as much as I love Liv, and of course, obviously Raquel, we love her down here. We love her. But, you know, as much as I love them, we got to think about the tag team titles and rehabbing what those mean and the actual importance of those, making those relevant again. And as much as, you know, I'm not crazy about Ronda either. I'm kind of with everybody else. Nothing personally against her. I just, especially the second run, I haven't really been feeling it at all. At least the first time she came to WWE, there was more there. I think she needs this. I think, you know, Shayna needs this. And just, but Ronda has star power. Ronda has the name. And right now, if you're going to build the tag team championships around anybody, the one person who has the star power to do it right now is Ronda. She is going to draw eyes no matter what, no matter who you are, no matter if you like wrestling, if you've been watching for a while or you don't, you know who Ronda Rousey is. And just knowing that she has a belt of any kind is like, oh, okay. You know, whether she's always talked about, whether again you like her work, you don't like her work, she's in conversation. And that's what these titles need right now, is somebody with solid, credible, you know, just public attention or public persona that people know, that is going to draw eyes and make the titles attractive again. As much as, again, her ring work still leaves some to be desired, although I do, again, like this pairing with Shayna. I feel like it's helping her. As well as giving them that, both of them, that reputation of, you know, the MMA, and just, you know, this is, I think, a chance for everybody to win. And just for the tag team titles, this division really needs it. So please, even though as much as, again, I'm not a big fan of Ronda, the titles need this, the division needs this, and just dang it, WWE, finally, just do something with this division, please.
Amanda hit the nail on the head. Everybody wins with this. This is not a singles title. This is not something that we are concerned with the lineage or the history of. This is something that Ronda gets to hold, Shayna gets to hold. We get to promote this in other areas. Ronda still shows up on ESPN. Shayna still shows up on ESPN. This is something where nobody nobody is hurt by it, and everybody gains. And most importantly, these tag titles gain a little bit of respect and a little bit of shine that they desperately need, because we've been hot potatoing them for so long. And a lot of it's beyond their control. There's been so many injuries. There's been so many things beyond probably the way they wanted things to go. But we're finally in a spot where we can kind of hit cruise control. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And it's one of those things where, like you said, everybody wins. And especially as WWE fans, we win because we don't have to have Ronda Rousey in a singles title picture. And she's still relevant. She's still helping the brand. She's still helping herself. She's still helping everybody. This works for everybody. This is one of the few, very few situations where everybody benefits from a situation.
Here, I'm here for it. And I'm just going to say, Rhea, watch out, because Raquel's coming for you. That's all.
And then when Chelsea eventually wins the tag titles, who?
We're going so well.
Why? What's wrong with it? It's not her fault that she can't go to London.
Nothing
this
is
week.
Wrong with Chelsea. I love Chelsea, by the way. How is it going from that 007 GoldenEye bunker that you're apparently in?
Wow. Throwback.
I don't know. Okay, so to be honest, I don't even know what your joke means. So I'm going to
ignore
you, and I'm going to go.
That's fair, though.
And I'm going to.
That's fair.
And I'm going to go to a question in the chat as a good host, and you're going to explain to me later on what your dumb joke meant.
I don't get it.
I was here.
Anyone over the age of 27, pop for it.
Hey, look, that's not me. So Elvin in the chat said, does it hurt Liv not having a title more than it hurts taking the titles off Ronda and Shayna? No, because Liv could survive without a title. Look at the whole 2023 year.
Good question. I'll say no as well, but I think that's an interesting question. I'm glad to see Liv back and to see Liv get so much popularity and finally having got that title. She deserves, obviously, Jersey's own, but very just organic how that all happened, just the crowd being behind her. So I think she's okay for now.
And Liv is in a great spot, because Liv is one of the few people that, like, it's great to see her as the champ, because we all love her and we all care about her and we root for her, but she's just as good chasing. So whether she's got the title or not, she's kind of in a, as long as she's not getting buried, which she's certainly not going to get buried in this situation, as long as she's relevant, we're all happy. And she's relevant, so we're happy. And whether she has the title or not, it's all good. As long as she doesn't get buried, and she won't.
And to me, she reminds me a lot of Seth Rollins. She's like the Seth Rollins of the women's division, because Seth didn't have a title for the longest time until now. I know, Kimmy, that makes you sad for me saying that, but people still love Seth Rollins. And no matter whether he has gold or not, he just has that organic interest, that it factor. And Liv has that it factor. So she, as much as I like seeing her have gold, and I think she thrives no matter what scenario she's in, she just has that charisma, that there's just something about her that is intriguing. And that I think no matter what, whether she has gold or not, you're gonna be curious about what she's doing. You're gonna be interested in her. She's gonna get a reaction no matter what. And that I think she will be fine right now, especially now that she's got this great comeback story. She came back far earlier than anticipated, it sounds like. So that she already has the comeback story right here built in and ready to go. So she really doesn't need a title at this point. She can work off of that, and she again has that it factor. So she is fine right now.
I'd like to thank everyone in the chat that understands the joke. You're all old. I don't care. Now we're going to talk about
the Mission Impossible bunker too, since that is coming out.
It could work for the Mission Impossible.
It could work for Mission Impossible.
Pop Break just had a great piece on Mission Impossible.
Shameless promo.
Yes, it did.
We're all old. Now we're going to talk about my favorite person, because we're going to wrap it around, because again, it's about me. We're here on Can We Take Over?
When is it not?
Exactly. That's the problem. There's times where it's not about me, and then the show goes under. Are we shocked? No. So, we have Seth Rollins, who is the world champion, by the way. Did I mention he's the champion?
Versus.
For how
Finn
long?
Balor. Past this weekend, That's for damn sure. Because even if somebody, wins that little briefcase, they're not cashing it in this weekend. Boom. Yeah, I said it. So, Seth is champ. This made me very happy in Nevada, where I was when he won this. I was drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was wonderful. So, Seth is gonna win. Why would he lose? Finn Balor, right? He's like I didn't watch the full thing on Monday, but he's like, oh, the Finn from 7 years ago, he's dead, and he's so much angrier now. And I'm like, you're not the demon. You're not coming out as a demon this weekend. So no.
Doesn't matter if he did.
You're not. Well, fact. I feel like that's
demon's
well,
dead.
You know, obviously, he's on losing that. When he's in that gimmick. Yeah, because he loses when he's in that gimmick. It's not successful. And then he cries. And, oh my God, they're not using Finn Balor correctly. So Finn's going to lose. And then, you know, Damian, he's also going to lose in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So then the Judgment Day is going to be all really upset. That's my take. Mike, I just want to hear you pick Rollins. Go right ahead. Make my
day. I'm definitely picking Rollins because he needs to win. And it's not that Seth Rollins needs to win, because we've already established that Seth Rollins with, without a title, winning, losing, doesn't matter. He's still in that character where he's over regardless, and that's a beautiful spot to be in. But what's more important here is the title itself. And while we're doing a great job of pitching this whole, we're bringing the Universal title back into the picture and all of this, and Seth and Finn have a great rivalry and it's going to be great. The bigger picture here is the title itself. If we start, just like the women's tag titles, if we start hot potatoing this title real quick, all of a sudden you've got another European title or secondary title on your hands. And we need this title to have a prestige about it, where when Seth finally loses it, it actually means something. And if Seth loses it here, does Seth really suffer from it? No. But does Finn really gain anything from it? Maybe. But what we've immediately done is say, here's another title that gets hot potatoed, as opposed to the Universal title that's been on lockdown for 3+ years. So this match is more about the belt itself than about the people fighting for it. And no matter who comes out on top, they would be a fine champion. I think Finn Balor is due another world title run in his career. But for the time being, this is about putting prestige, putting some respect on that name. And this is a brand new belt, whether we choose to give it the old world heavyweight title lineage or not. And it's better for everybody involved if Seth keeps that title going, because when Seth finally loses it, it needs to mean something. And if he loses it 6 weeks after he won it, then is this really a top tier title? Or is this another United States hardcore European title, whatever it is? So Seth needs to win it for the sake of keeping the prestige of the title. And he will. And it'll be a great match. But nobody truly benefits from Finn Balor winning this. As long as Finn doesn't get squashed, which he won't, then we all come out on top.
You say that. Now he will be squashed. Wait till this weekend. He will be
squashed.
You don't know that. And by the way, Matt Wittes, I was not drinking a juice box at 10 o'clock in the morning in Nevada. Who does that, bro? Not me.
You need to hydrate in the desert. It's very important.
That's true. Yuhu or Capri Sun. I did. Yuhu or Capri Sun.
I did.
I'm here
with
for
the non-alcoholic beverages.
The Annie Smark in the chat saying that belt needs more shine, and Seth is the one who will give it the most in the shortest amount of time, to Mike's point, and he ain't done yet. Welcome Bubba John in the chat. Dan Lehman in the chat saying that Finn promo was fire, and really liked the GoldenEye reference from Mike as well. A lot about that in the chat. Kelvin in the chat saying, very interested in this story. I actually want Finn to win. Guys, again, in the chat, let us know all your theories. I want to hear all of it. I think it's cool how they connected like Finn's past and history with Seth into this a little bit, and the injury, the short title reign. I think that kind of connects it. Cool. The Judgment Day, not to say they're forcing them down our throats by any mean, but it took a while. It took a while for them to individually, outside of Rhea, I would say, really get to where they are. You know, we see the heat that Dom's getting. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's working. And I think Finn is a solid opponent right now for Seth. I don't think I'm emotionally invested as much as I want to be, but this is a solid matchup. It's going to be a really, really good match. That being said, no way Seth loses here.
Amanda, please make my night and also pick Seth Rollins.
I will make your night and pick Seth Rollins because Mike brings an excellent point. This just right on point. This belt needs the prestige. It needs to be at the same level or even a little bit more than Roman holding, than where Roman's at. And I like the idea of Seth defending. Like when he showed up on NXT, that was great. And you have that momentum of a actual defending champion going. And so you need to keep that going. What we don't want is another title being held hostage. As much as I love Roman, I love you forever and ever. But we need a title that is on TV, that is present. And Seth has the it factor again. He's the other than Cody Rhodes, the other person that has that star power besides Roman. When you think of wrestling, you think Roman Reigns for WWE, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and now Cody Rhodes at this point that have that real big momentum. So Seth Rollins can bring the eyes again to that title. And he's again, somebody again, who's Roman's, you know, peer, has been adversary. He's had the money in the bank.
Never lost.
And so, I mean, somebody who can be on par with Roman, you got Seth Rollins right there in star power. And so he needs to keep this title. And honestly, I'm kind of thinking this might be my match of the night, other than the men's Money in the Bank, if we're going singles match, because I feel like these two, especially with, you know, how successful Forbidden Door was and the traction behind a lot of the match quality and content, WWE, even though they're thinking they're going to do their own thing, they're still going to listen to some of that. And these two can deliver. These two might be capable of putting on that and given us something that maybe could also generate a lot of buzz like Forbidden Door did.
I'm putting you on the spot, Amanda. Are they putting on a better in-ring wrestling match than Gunther and Riddle?
I feel like these two could, even though I think
not could.
No, they will.
All right.
I stand behind it. I stand behind it. Yeah. Because I feel that Seth and Finn both have a lot to offer. We've seen their in-ring work performance. We've seen them in NXT. We've seen them just all over. And, you know, not that Gunther can't do it. Riddle, I think, is getting there. I think if it were Gunther, no question. Riddle, I think, I feel like I like his movements. I like his sets. I like his spots, but I don't think for me he wrestles better than Finn or Seth. I think he's getting there. I just don't think he's at that caliber. Now, if you told me, hey, it's Gunther versus Seth, okay, yeah, we're going to tear it down. Or Gunther versus Finn, they're going to tear it down. Yeah. But, you know, I think these two.
But Gunther would squash Seth, so we don't want that.
Actually, that's not true. In 2019, I'm having this wild memory. In 2019, when Gunther first came to the main roster, he wrestled Seth. And oh my God, wait. He lost.
Oh,
so, by the way, hot take. Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, not my match of the year.
Really?
Go cry about it.
Ooh.
Now, we're going to talk about a match that storyline-wise should definitely be everybody's storyline of the year because it's Bloodline Civil War. Dun, dun, dun. Now, there are rumors floating that there will be a big upset at the end of this match. So when you give me your prediction, I want to know what your big upset is. What is going to happen at the end? And what I think is going to happen, not only are the Usos going to win, Solo Sikoa is going to turn on Roman Reigns and side with the Usos. Hoof. Yay, that's my whole thing. Mike, what you got?
All right, bro. I disagree. I think this is...
Of course
is,
you do.
Well, no, I think this is Roman and Solo. First of all, I'm contractually obligated to pick Roman Reigns because I said I would pick him until he dropped the title, and he's still the champion. And even though this is a tag title that has nothing to, or a tag match that has nothing to do with his title, it doesn't change the fact that he just lost a tag match with Solo, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I thought with SummerSlam being in Detroit, now we'll be there live in person, I thought we were heading toward Roman and Solo. And if what you are saying is true, then we could still end up there. But I just feel like the groundwork needed to be laid before that. I feel like at this point we're getting Roman and Jay, which I'm all for. But it just, I mean, for Roman to take two big losses in a row is really, I just don't see that happening. And he just dropped with Solo to Sammy and KO. I have a hard time imagining it's going to happen again. I think they get this win. I think ultimately Roman pins Jimmy, and where we go from here is ultimately Jay. He doesn't turn his back on Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't turn his back on Jay. I don't want to see the Usos split at all. But I think ultimately we need to get to a point where Jimmy needs to say, or Jay needs to say, I need to do this without you. I need to do this on my own. Let's not forget that when Roman started this title reign, the birth of the bloodline was Roman versus Jay. And that's how this whole thing started. And it was three of the best matches, certainly the three best matches of the year. Three of the best matches of the last 10 years, I would say, with those three involved. The singles match, the Hell in a Cell match, and then their blow-off. But to bring this back around full circle, I think we need to see a new Jey Uso. We need to see a focused Jey Uso. And again, we're not getting a split with the Usos, but ultimately this ends with Jimmy taking the pin and Jay saying, you know what, Us, I love you. You're my brother for life. But I've got unfinished business that is 3 years running, and we got to get this under our belts, and we're going to do that at SummerSlam. But if the Usos win, I don't see any reason for Jimmy to take a back door. And I think Jimmy needs to take the back door here. It needs to be Jay versus Roman. So on their own, there's going to be shenanigans. There's going to be whatever. But we need to get to SummerSlam with it being Roman versus Jay. And the only way to me that we get there is Roman pins Jimmy at Money in the Bank. So that's where I'm going.
Kelvin, I'm going to tell you, Rikishi's not going to show up.
I would love Rikishi to show up, but he's not going to. Awesome. Can we?
Yeah, and they all dance. Let's go.
Put the sunglasses on.
No. It's not.
There it is. Yes.
It's not. Yes. What was it? The Raw Reunion 2013 that this happened? Yeah, no.
That was great. I loved it.
That was great.
No.
Kimmy needs to get out of her Golden Eye bunker, and she'll enjoy it too.
Can you stop doing this joke that I don't understand? It's not even funny. No one's laughing.
Everyone is laughing.
Great.
No, it's kind of stupid. Rob, what do you think? Shake your head. I don't care.
Welcome, Tim, in the chat. Yeah, guys, I'll just know who you got. And Kelvin, like Kimmy was saying, Rikishi shows up. You guys can read in the chat. Interesting theories. A lot of people saying, Dan in the chat, I want to see the tribal elders show up and remove Roman as the tribal chief. And you know what? I was going to say how much is too much with this storyline. We do need the fall of the Roman Empire. We're starting to see that a little bit more. The stuff with Sammy, absolutely brilliant. You know, it's not going to be all home runs right now. It's still really good. And based on just what people like, the comments are just coming in, more GoldenEye comments. The comments are coming in as we speak. So people seem like, fans seem really invested in this. I'm interested to see what happens, but I think it's almost to the point now where every promo or in-ring promo or match, we're expecting someone to turn or someone else to turn, which is makes sense in terms of like the fall of the Roman Empire. But I don't see, because everyone's like, Jimmy's gonna turn on Jay now, even though they kind of did like the false thing, and or you know, Solo's gonna turn on Roman, which I think is one of the obvious picks, and then all the brothers are together. I think that's kind of like the obvious default. I'm gonna go with some sort of like miscommunication here. I don't think it's going to be between Solo and Roman, but something where the Usos or particularly Jay gets the upper hand. I'm going to give the win to the Usos in this one because of some sort of miscommunication, some sort of like misstep, slipped on a banana peel, but it's someone's fault and it adds a layer of not dissension, but a layer of miscommunication in the bloodline. And I'm going to say it's going to have something to do with Paul Heyman.
Great. Me and Rob agree. That means I'm wrong. Amanda.
Oh, man. This was probably my toughest one because this is the storyline that is drawing people here. This is the bread and butter. And, you know, just when you think it can't get any better, you know, again, we had our twist at our last pay-per-view. We had, you know, everything, especially with that cell with that double super kick was just those beautiful nuances. It's perfect. I love it. Just when you think it can't get any better, it does. And that expectation, especially now, is going to be even higher. So I feel like you have to have continue to keep us on our toes, to surprise us, to add those little nuances in the story. Because again, this is what is drawing people to come back. And I mean, you know, I think Mike, you have a very good point where, you know, Jay has to, I mean, that's where we're going towards. That's the next piece. You know, I mean, we're revisiting the story, the part of the story that started it all with Jay. Jay is coming back full circle. And, you know, we have Solo being teased and, you know, that's going to happen at some point. Are they going to pull the trigger on it? No, I think we're going to see not yet. Well, I think it's going to be teased. Yes. And I think we're going to see some miscommunication between Solo and Roman. I really do. It's not going to cost them the match. It's not going to be, you know, there's going to be some mistakes made there, but that story is going to continue to build and it's going to continue to build slowly to where, again, you're going to have that payoff. I just, you know, I'm really torn because I feel like the same way, you know, Roman already lost, but I mean, I could see Solo taking a pin. I could see him taking another one, but I think, honestly, it's going to come down to the Usos and it's going to be some kind of miscommunication. I could see Roman getting the pin. I could see Solo getting the pin, but it's going to be a fairly dominant win, but it's going to be an emotional, there's going to be some kind of emotional component with it. Not necessarily a hard turn where, oh, you know, Jimmy, you know, it's going to be that emotional, you know what, Jimmy, I got to do this. I know you're going to try to protect me. Maybe Jimmy goes in and tries to protect Jay and it costs him the match or something like that. You know, I think we're going to get some kind of very dramatic nuance to the story. Could it be Heyman? Could it be Jimmy? It could go either way. This was a hard one for me to predict. I think, again, the Usos are going to lose, but it's going to be in a heart-wrenching fashion. That gets you all like tear jerked because that's what happened last time. And we're already starting to go there. So I think this is going to be more about story, although all four are going to do a great job in the ring. This match is going to be awesome. I mean, the Usos themselves alone. Yeah. Their in-ring performances. Oh my gosh.
As tag team of all time, I'll say.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm just, they blow me away. And you have Solo who's already stepped up even more. Like you just see the growth of everybody in this ring and it's going to be awesome. It's all going to come down to the story. It's going to be the Usos losing in a very dramatic fashion. It's going to be beautifully done and it's going to tearjerk everyone. That's where I'm going with it. I'm going for the emotional component here. It's going to
now, Usos are- I have some more tearjerking news for you. Concerning the end of Dynamite, Sting did it.
Wait, I didn't watch it yet.
Hey, whoa.
None of you watched Dynamite.
I was working. No.
I was working.
No spoilers, guys, in the chat, please. I don't know.
Wow. I was going to give a medical update.
No.
Well, I hope everyone's okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now I can't say.
I'm a big spoiler fool. I'm sorry. I like to experience. Yeah.
No spoilers.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, like, you're all boring.
I'm used to that. Wow. That's fine.
No.
Real quick, in the chat.
No, stop with the joke that no one understands.
Everybody understands it except for you.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Dan Lehman in the chat says, wild card, Afa Jr., shout out Afa Jr. Check out Battlefield Pro. He runs a great promotion. Afa Jr. joins the Bloodline. I'd be here for that.
That's not how
it's we do. I do want to say that we keep assuming that this bloodline story is nearing its end. And we've been assuming that for 16, 18, 20, 24 months. And it just finds a way to keep going and keep adding layers and developing. So I don't, if Afa or a split, whatever, my point is that we've been expecting this story to be wrapping up for a long time, and it continues to go, and it continues to surprise us in the best way possible. So I don't know what's necessarily coming next, but anybody who's going to sit here and say, well, clearly we're reaching the end of the story, you were saying the same thing 10 months ago, and we're still here, and we're still on the edge of our seats. So whatever is in store next, I'm along for the ride. Maybe we're reaching the beginning of the end, but I don't think so.
Could this dare be the Mission Impossible storyline of WWE?
It could be. The end,
and it keeps getting better. Keeps getting better. Or is this the Star Wars? Could it be? Just saying. This is the bread and butter right here. This is what keeps people coming. And WWE is knocking. I'm with you, Mike. They can't end it anytime soon. They're just going to keep. They don't need to.
Every time we think it's over, we get a brand new layer that just makes me. I'm right back in.
So now we're going to talk about everyone's favorite person, WWE, Dominic Mysterio. Oh my God! Yay! Hooray. He's wrestling Cody Rhodes. And oh my God, guess what? He's going to win because Brock's going to come out and cost Cody. And now I'll set up SummerSlam. Amanda, agree with me. Make me happy. Agree.
I'm just here for the booze. Dominic gets the best heat ever. And I think he's probably, every heel wrestler out there is probably jealous right now because that heat is nuclear and it's perfect. And it cracks me up every time. So I'm looking forward to just seeing what London's going to do right off the bat. But I think through shenanigans and Lesnar and just the Judgment Day getting in the way, Rhea doing her thing, Dom's going to pull the win here. The storyline is going to continue, even though, to an extent. Although, yes, the focus is going to shift to Cody and Lesnar, you're still going to have the Judgment Day there. And I'm here for it. The promos have been funny. Seeing Rhea do her thing, although I really want her to defend the title, I have my issues with that. But you know, she's been a very entertaining part, and I like that they are letting her just stand toe to toe with these very high caliber male wrestlers. Like it's awesome seeing her stand, like even just seeing her stand toe to toe with Cody Rhodes. That's amazing. I'm here for it. But yes, I think I'm with you, Kimmy, on this one. I think everyone's most hated wrestler for those 15 minutes in jail is gonna win this.
That's hard time. He served hard time.
It's a hard time, yeah. With the prison tattoo, you know, and all of that. I mean, those promos they're gold. I'm here for it.
So Mike was nodding his head, which means he also agrees with me, which probably means that we're wrong. So yay for us. Right ahead.
I got Cody winning this, but I do think Brock Lesnar shows up. But I think Brock Lesnar shows up after the match is over. This to me is there. I can't. All right, I'm going to make a statement and I don't care what you say. I've been a bigger fan for longer than any of you. And I remember late 80s, early 90s pro wrestling. You have the pure good guy, Cody Rhodes, that everybody's rooting for. And you've got the pure bad guy, chicken shit heel, Dominic Mysterio, that everyone's rooting against. This is 1988 heat in a way that we cannot duplicate today, no matter how hard we try. And if you look at this card, we've got a lot of heels winning, especially if I'm right on the rest of it, which I usually am. So we need to find opportunities for good guys to win. This is an opportunity for the good guy to win. Cody Rhodes should and will beat Dominic Mysterio, but Brock Lesnar will be there. He will play a part, but I see it happening after the bell. And ultimately, this is leading up to Cody versus Brock at SummerSlam. But this is an easy win for Cody to get, in which Dom wins no matter what. Dom can get squashed, and it doesn't matter because we all want to see Dom get squashed. And how often in especially modern wrestling, where we're all so smart and we all love the heel wrestlers, myself included, and we love the gimmicks and the act and the character and the persona that they portray, how often do we truly root for the good guy and boo the bad guy? That's happening right now, and that does not happen often. Take advantage of it. Give the people what they want, especially since they're getting a majority of heel wins here. This is a babyface win in the making. As soon as Cody wins and his hand is raised and we all go, yay, he beat Dominic Mysterio, here comes Brock Lesnar. But until that bell rings, Cody Rhodes gets the win.
But sure. Out of curiosity, Mike, do you think, I mean, do you think it's going to hurt the Judgment Day, given that we've predicted everybody else losing so far?
Nope. It doesn't matter, because ultimately, the only person in the Judgment Day that truly matters is Rhea Ripley, and she's already won. I don't even want Rhea Ripley here, because I'm very afraid that we're going to have a typical Women's Money in the Bank situation where the woman wins, and if either Rhea or Asuka are anywhere near this building, we're going to get a cash in, and I don't want to see that. So, no, the fact is, as good as the Judgment Day is, and as much of the fact they've exceeded everybody's expectations of them as a faction, Rhea Ripley is still the breakout star. She's already done what she needs to do. Dom is untouchable at this point. He can win or lose. It doesn't matter. They're trying to position Damian Priest in a situation where he could be seen as a main event player, but he's not, and we all kind of know that. And then there's Finn, who will deliver every time. But I don't think the Judgment Day can't be hurt, because they've already exceeded our expectations. And nothing that happens at this pay-per-view is going to detract from that, in my opinion.
Rob, is this where you copy and paste Mike? And it's like, oh my God, yay, Mike.
He's so smart.
Oh, this is, the chat's loving Mike right now. Kelvin saying, I can get behind that, Mike. Dang it. Matt Witt is saying, Mike hits the nail on the head with his 1988 analysis. Circle gets a square. Yeah, a lot of people behind Mike on this one. This is where
this is great, by the way.
Yeah, he's here for it.
This is horrible.
I'm getting yelled at here. I'm definitely getting yelled at. I'm going way out on a limb. I'm getting real cute. I'm getting real creative with this one. You guys tell me where you lose me on this one. And I'm going out there. I thought about this a lot. Something about this Dom. And first of all, I expect a great crowd in London. I'm hoping, much like Puerto Rico, we just get like this really great crowd reaction on everything. The boos, like you guys were saying, are going to be, I think, amazing. The cheers for Cody, like, it makes a lot of sense. You know, like Mike said, biggest babyface, not biggest heel, but again, the loudest verbal reaction from the crowd for the heel in Dom. Them interacting and the story itself. What do we got there?
This is where Kimmy's broadcast came from, by the way, in case anyone can.
Great soundtrack too, by the way. Great game. One of my all-time favorites. Yeah. Multiplayer.
Are you that bored? Do you have to make fun of the place on podcasting that you can't even respect the guy's pod we're on when he's giving his prediction?
Oh, nobody.
Respect Rob.
No, nobody respects me. Let's Rob who?
I wouldn't have interrupted him.
Champ Williams. I respect Champ Williams.
Oh, I'm here for that. That's the new shirt. I'm going to say, and tell me where you guys lose me on this one. It feels not inorganic, but the way Cody and Dom were put together, like, you know, these little like attacks and like slapping them and walking out of the ring and all these little things, like, not to say it's forced, but to me, it feels like, whether it's going to be a Brock or something else interfering, it feels like just a distraction. It feels like, why is Cody fighting Dom right now? I'm going to get yelled at. Tell me where you guys lose me. His mission statement was to win the title that his father never won, which was the WWE Championship, then the WWWF or WWF Championship. That is not the title that Seth holds. What is the title that Roman holds now? Does he hold all three? Because he has that gold one now. So
it is framed as the Undisputed World
WWE
Championship.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But he still comes out with all three titles, so technically he still does hold that particular WWE championship that his father never won.
That holds the lineage.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So that is still...
In theory, Seth holds the belt that Dusty at 1.1.
That is...
Theoretically.
I'm going to get yelled at. That is the mission statement. That has been his goal. It's so far gone now. I feel... And again, it's like not being whole, like, oh, Cody deserves it and they messed up at Mania. Like, I'm not saying that at all. But I think we can all agree at some point in time... Cody will win that title, whether it's from Roman, whoever. I think we can all agree on that. Maybe in Philly, maybe we'll all be there to see it. Selfishly, I hope that's the case. But we've said this the past couple years, or the past, I think the last Money in the Bank, we were saying how Cody was going to win the Money in the Bank and then like fail cash in or like almost win the Rumble. And everything went Cody. He was winning everything. He had that series of matches with Seth. And then, you know, the big loss at WrestleMania, and now he's fighting Dom. And I think Brock was the perfect guy, like, for him to fight after that, like, the feud with Brock. And I think it is, you know, even Nunes said to me, he's like, Lesnar's going to interfere, or Lesnar's going to come out after the match, he's going to set them up at SummerSlam. The Dom thing's a misdirect. It's a complete misdirect. I feel that 100%. It probably will lead to Brock versus Cody at SummerSlam. I think Cody is tailor-made for that Money in the Bank, and I see him, I know I'm getting cute here, getting into that match out of nowhere, completely blindside us with. I know, I'm getting cute, but I'm gonna go Cody. I'm gonna go Cody, obviously, to win here. Maybe it has something to do with the Judgment Day. Maybe is Damian Priest in the ladder match, I believe.
Yes, he is.
Maybe he ends up, you know, it's a consequence of Judgment Day getting involved. People in the chat saying Brock's going to come out, F5 everyone, including Rhea. I don't know about that.
Rhea will F5
I don't know.
Brock.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd be here for that. Rhea, F5 Brock. I'm getting cute, but I truly feel, and there's a lot of people saying like something sneaky's going on here. I'm getting a little too cute with it, but I just feel like the crowd reaction, a big swerve like that, something different, you know? It's not completely linear, but this is, there's something, just a big misdirect here about Dom versus Cody.
Can I tell you why I don't like this?
I don't think anyone does, but go ahead,
man, please. I was going to go, but sure, go right
tell
ahead.
Tell me what, I'm used to it,
no,
please.
No, I could, only because I was saying, it seemed, if what Rob says comes true, it seems like it comes from a very entitled point for Cody. We're like, why does Cody get to get in this match and then win it and whatever?
Fair.
And it feels like what we've done since WrestleMania is try to give Cody what, Rob, you and I have said from before, that is, it feels like he hasn't climbed that hill, you know what I mean? For us to get behind him. And if he just gets gifted through whatever reason, if he gets gifted an opportunity into Money in the Bank. I was at Money in the Bank last year where I saw freaking Austin Theory get gifted the spot into Money in the Bank, and he won it, and we all booed him, as we should, because we're going, why does this guy get in here? This does not seem, Cody getting gifted a chance into Money in the Bank by hook or by crook, just to me, is going to make people dislike him and go, okay, we're just handing him stuff, and we're on this whole journey of him trying to earn his way back into the title spot. So I think you're off.
Fair point. And the chat is saying the same thing. Kimmy and Amanda, did you want to weigh in?
Amanda can go first.
I was just going to say that I mean, you already have Logan Paul. In similar circumstances,
literally popped up in the chat when you said that. Yeah.
So it's they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it twice. Plus, Rob, I could see maybe if the caliber of opponents in the men's Money in the Bank match was not very high, but you have Logan Paul, which they're not going to waste his appearances. LA Knight, who I know we're going to talk about here in a bit. You know, you have Shinsuke Nakamura, you have Ricochet, you have Damian Priest. I mean, you have the caliber alone is going to be worth. And again, we'll talk about this match, but they're not, you know, again, if you had less strong or maybe less well-known opponents, I mean, you might have Pete Dunne come back, you know, who knows, versus Butch. I mean, we're going that way. But, you know, I feel like, you know, they're not going to waste the caliber of talent that's in the ring by throwing Cody in there. It doesn't need Cody.
Fair.
It doesn't need Cody. And, you know, again, we don't want to stick. Again, we already have Logan Paul. That's a whole, you know, nobody wants to copy and paste that. And Cody's the wrong person to do that with. You're going to copy and paste. But my thoughts.
Kimmy, be nice.
All right.
Be nice to me.
No.
What do you got?
No. All right. So here's your first fact.
Oh, boy.
Right. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's already 7 people in the Money in the Bank. There were 7 people in the Money in the Bank last year. Why the hell are we adding an 8? That makes no sense.
There have been 8 in the past, though. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure, there
have.
Well, they don't want to do that this year. They want to keep it an odd number, clearly. Second of all, like Amanda said, they just announced Logan Paul. Why the hell out of nowhere are you announcing somebody else random?
Fair.
You did it last year. Nobody liked it. You did it Monday. No one liked it Monday. Are you thinking that it's going to work this weekend? Not going to work
Fair
this
point.
Weekend either.
Fair point.
Third.
Kimmy, I have a question for you.
I'm not done yet, so you're going to have
I know.
To
I just, I want to say it because you teased it. So I just want to get there.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
No. Ask your dumb
question. Are we adding one more for the women's? Because isn't it weird? I think this is the first year ever. It's not been the same number of contestants for the women's and the men's.
Meaning that I don't know how many women flew out to London. Meaning that there are only 6. I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I think clearly there's already a winner. I don't like they're struggling with the men's winner. They're not struggling with the female winner. If we all have different people for the female, I think that something is wrong and we're
but
all watching a different
product. Why does
that
not mean we can't add one more woman to make it interesting?
Because that person's obviously going to lose.
Okay. Okay.
We're like everyone.
It just seems weird to me that we're going to have 7 for the men and 6 for the women when literally every year before we've had the same for both.
I believe the original plan was Chelsea, but she couldn't get a green card in time. She can't leave the country.
Chelsea couldn't get a green card?
Oh my God. You're so funny and clever.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, everybody.
All right, back to me yelling at Rob because that's way more entertaining. Lastly, you talk about how this feud is like kind of like underneath Cody when you have to realize that both of them are second generation superstars. And that's what this whole feud has been about them
the
both
father.
Being second generation superstars. And I'm shocked you didn't bring that up, meaning that your favorite is
Touché.
Rey Mysterio.
Touché, Kimmy. Touché. Okay.
So that's why you're wrong. Anyway, let's talk about the women's Money in the Bank. And like I said, if for some reason we all have a different winner, we're all watching a different program. I fully believe that. So please be careful of what you answer with this match. We have Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Starks, Bayley, Io Sky, and Trish Stratus. Now, we usually do this by process of elimination because that makes Rob happy. So let's do process of elimination. Zelina Vega was my original pick for this. And then, you know, shit happened. So I can't pick her anymore. Becky Lynch jinxed herself on Monday by touching the briefcase. That means you're not winning. So she jinxed herself. That's on her. Zoe Stark, she'll have a good showing. She's one of those that are just in this match to have a good showing. She's going to do some team stuff with Trish. You're going to do your whole, oh my God, they're going to turn on each other's spot and then it's not going to happen. You'll do your spot where Zoe's trying to help Trish and then Becky will come in, toss the ladder and they'll both fall. Bayley, no. You'll do the same thing. You'll tease the damage control tension. That won't happen either. Trish Stratus, props to her. She's in her first ladder match of her career. What a hell of a moment for her. But if you're not picking Io Sky, I hate to break it to you. You're wrong. You're wrong. That's the match we're going to get at SummerSlam. Io's going to be, I'm going to say it now because I won't be on the SummerSlam pod. Io Sky will dethrone Asuka. Hot take. Rob, go ahead.
Wow, lots of.
Redeem yourself.
I'm not going to redeem myself. I'm going to get in trouble. Matt saying in the chat to even out the number, the return of Mandy Rose. Interesting.
No, she's not coming back.
Just reading what's on the paper over here.
And I'm logistically telling the audience. You're welcome.
Well, hey, I'm a stats guy. You know that. Going to be a really good match. I'm very excited for all the competitors. This is going to be really, really, really cool. Excited for the EO high-flying spot. That's going to be awesome. I was going to pick Zelina. Why am I not picking Zelina? I missed something. Can we talk about it on the podcast or did something happen? I don't know.
Oh, no. I was originally going to pick Zelina because of the momentum that she had at Backlash.
Yeah.
And then when they announced the rest of the opponents, I changed.
Oh,
my
okay. I thought something happened because I was going to go with Zelina. So I was kind of torn on it being Trish or Zelina. Like my instant thought is like, Again, there's been, how many money in the banks are there? There's been so many over
the
years.
For the women, there's been seven.
Good point, right? Not as many for the women. Great point, Mike. Yeah. I think typically that money in the bank briefcase elevates somebody, like somebody who's a mid-card to a top star or to win that title. People like Liv Morgan, we've seen, you know, cash that in. Bayley cashed it in. We could go on with the list. I think, man, I'm torn between Trish and Zelina. Trish makes a lot of sense just to add to her legacy, the lineage. Even if she does win it, she's still, and I'm sure she's there to help the talent. I'm sure she just feels good. She's got this run in her. She's, you know, she looks fantastic. She's putting in the work. She's in this is her first ever ladder match, correct me if I'm wrong, as well, which in itself is cool. You know, you could have the thing where Zoe hands it to her. We've seen that whole bit before. But Trish going around with the Money in the Bank briefcase makes a lot of sense. And I could see her dethroning one of the women's champions, you know, for maybe one last run. But I think Trish is typically, and even in winning the title or the Money in the Bank, she's going to put a lot of people over and help the up-and-comers and the next generation. It would make a lot of sense, but I think it's tailor-made for someone like Zelina Vega, not only just because of that backlash crowd reaction. One of the few times where I'm just like, you call this thing on the fly, much like the Acclaimed and Keith Lee and Swerve, and I think it was Chicago. I'm like, you call this on the fly. Like, let's do it. Let's give him a moment here. And I understand why you did. You know, you don't want to take away anything from Rhea. But, man, I think this makes just so much sense for Zelina Vega to be walking around with this briefcase. And just having a moment, whether it be in New York City, whether it be, you know, someplace special.
In Detroit.
Puerto Rico. Yeah, Detroit, SummerSlam. I just think this makes a lot of sense. She's been the queen. I feel like it's either Trish or Zelina Vega, and I'm leaning towards Zelina Vega, but I'm very excited for this ladder match.
You're wrong. Whoopie-doo. Amanda, put us right back on track. Get us rolling.
I kind of just went based on the feuds that are happening currently, the different storylines. I mean, to me, Becky Lynch, I don't see her winning it just because she doesn't need it. Becky is over no matter what. And she's embroiled in the storyline with Trish. Like that's active, that's happening, that's moving. Her and Zoe and Trish are all in it. And I think, you know, they're all going to cost each other that opportunity. We're going to see some great spots. From all the women here, it's going to be a fun match, and I'm excited for it. You know, we have, you know, Bayley and EO teased, you know, and everything. I mean, their storyline is also, again, you're feeling that tension there. But, you know, Rob has a good point in that this moment is here to elevate people. And to me, the two people in this match that are poised to break out are going to be Zelina and EO. They're right there. They're right there. They've had their moments. EO, I feel like, though, I'm giving the edge to her because she has a little bit more. She's had more moments. Zelina is getting there. I think she's starting to, you know, backlash is the build to her momentum. She's my second pick if EO doesn't win. But EO, she's right there. She's had these moments. She's had, and we've teased already with her and Asuka, you know, and that, for me, selfishly, I want that. I want more. You know, give me the promos, give me the, I mean, oh, the technical caliber that, oh my gosh, you know, it's going to be a dream come true. So I feel like those two women could benefit from the win the most, unless they, you know, Mike, you bring up a good point. I do wonder about maybe if somebody from NXT is going to come up, or, you know, we're going to get some kind of surprise return that could derail the whole outcome. But if they don't do it, right now, I'm giving the edge just ever so slightly to EO because I think she's a little bit more poised for a breakout than Zelina. Zelina, I think, is there. If she had more time and a little bit more to do besides just backlash, I think you continue to build her. She's poised to have her own breakout moment probably by the end of this year, for sure. But I think right now it's going to be EO.
Good pick. Whoopie-doo. We're back on the rail that Rob knocked us off. I'm assuming we're going to get knocked off right again because Mike's not going to pick EO. He's going to pick somebody else.
What does he pick? So if we're getting a quick-ish cash-in EO makes all the sense in the world. I wouldn't pick against EO. And traditionally, the women's Money in the Bank briefcase, aside from Carmella, has been cashed in incredibly quickly. So, and as someone that's going to the next pay-per-view after this, I would certainly love to see it. The smart money is on Io Sky. The smart money is on Io Sky 100%. And I would certainly, if you're betting on Io Sky, you're probably going to win. But Rob, I want to, let's hop in the time machine.
Okay.
Let's go back 2 years when I first started on this podcast.
Nikki,
and grace your presence. Yes, sir.
First day of MVP.
What is Money in the Bank about? It's about good, silly, fun. That's what Money in the Bank's about. And when we look at this Money in the Bank top to bottom, I'm not seeing a lot of good, silly fun. Seeing a lot of seriousness. I'm seeing a lot of crying. I'm seeing a lot of heavy moments. And this to me is an opportunity for a good, silly, fun moment. So I am going to take Zelina Vega just because I feel like if she's holding on to the briefcase for a while, we can elevate her to a point where she can eventually cash it in with some level of seriousness and a major threat to whoever she cashes it in on. I think we can get to Io Sky versus Asuka at SummerSlam without the briefcase. I think that story tells itself. And again, like we say, if we're not getting a seventh person, I'm looking at Becky Lynch and her issue. And by the way, the Money in the Bank briefcase is beneath Becky Lynch at this point. It's beneath Cody Rhodes at this point, which is why I think it's not good for him. There are certain people that it's beneath, and it's beneath Becky. Becky's also doing her thing with Trish and Zoe Starks. And then you've got Bayley and Io doing their thing. And absolutely, it can end with like Io pushing Bayley off and she gets it. And then we get our split. But my point is, we don't need damage control to split because Io or Bayley wins this Money in the Bank briefcase. And we don't need Io versus Asuka to have the briefcase in order to get there to SummerSlam. The person to me that benefits the most from this briefcase in the short and long term is Zelina Vega. Again, the smart money is on Io Sky. Not surprised at all if Io Sky wins it, but this seems like it's too good of an opportunity to pass on giving this briefcase to someone like Zelina. So I'm going to take her. Plus, I love her.
2 years ago was the worst day of BCP because we were great.
Wow.
But Mike.
Because I won.
Who can... Oh my god, but guess what? You didn't win last week.
Oh boy.
And you're not going to win.
Stop. I didn't. Oh, I've got receipts.
Put you guys receipts in your separate corners. Can I read the comments real quick, Kimmy?
You sure can. Sure.
Thank you. It used to be my show.
It's not your show.
Used to be my show. A lot of people saying Trish wins. Tim in the chat, welcome Tim, says Zelina wins it at Payback. I guess winning the briefcase and then cashing it. And on 9/11, she brings the title to her dad's memorial for 9/11. That would be a beautiful moment. Ravishing Ricky, welcome in the chat, saying, if Vince books, Trish will win.
No.
All right. I don't hate Trish winning. It's a good heel
move. It makes sense in a lot of ways, but I digress. Go ahead, Kimmy. Just reading the comments.
Why, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad I degraded you to tech. Now,
thanks.
Unlike any other host who decides to host this pod, I did not forget a match because now we are on the main event. Because, fun facts, if you don't host the VCP and you're not me, you always forget a match. Bill forgot Athena versus Billy Starks last week. Rob always forgets like two matches. It's like ridiculous out here. Do your research, people. All you got to do is go on Google and type the card. So we have the men's Money in the Bank. I'm assuming this is probably not going to be the main event, but I thought it would be more exciting to talk about than the Bloodline. So we got Ricochet, we got Shinsuke Nakamura, we have LA Knight, we have Santos Escobar, we have Butch, we have Damian Priest, and we have Logan Paul. So once again, I'm going to do process of elimination for all these seven people. I hope you all enjoy. Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura are here for the cool moves to make this match look really fun. They're not winning. If you think they're going to win, again, we're watching two different products here. Santos Escobar, again, was an early pick for me. I think that he definitely deserves the Money in the Bank, and there could be a lot done with it, especially because LWO was so dominant on SmackDown. I thought it made sense. But, you know, that's not happening either because they put other people in this match that make more sense. Butch would be cool, but again, I think he's a cure to just make things look cool and fun. And Damian Priest is in here because they wanted to get three members of the Judgment Day on the card so they could all lose and then everyone could be so upset. Well, I mean, Dom's winning, so I guess like one out of the three, so 33%. Yeah, that's sure math. So now that leaves us with Logan
Scott
Paul.
Steiner promo.
There it is.
33%.
Good.
I'll have you know I graduated cum laude, so I wouldn't make a little educational joke to me. Okay? Okay. So that leaves us with Logan Paul and LA Knight. And everyone is, again, if you're not picking these two people, like, if you're picking anyone else but LA Knight and Logan Paul, you're not watching the program. I'm sorry. What are you watching? So, the reason I don't see Logan Paul winning is because he's not there every week. I feel like they want the Money in the Bank holder. And I understand, like, Brock held it and he wasn't there every week. But I feel like they're going to want somebody with the briefcase. And although from a business standpoint, it would make so much sense because then Logan Paul can go on all of his little shows. Okay, you cannot. It's not happening. Logan Paul can go on all his little shows and all of his little influencer thing and make WWE such a bigger name. And, you know, that's what WWE wants because newsflash, guys, Endeavor, it's going to happen in November and they want as much publicity as possible. But sadly, it won't happen because why would you pass on LA Knight being super over on SmackDown? It's equivalent to why you crowned Rollins with that title. Rollins held up live events in Europe for over 10 minutes every single night singing a song. LA Knight is so over. I was there in LA at that SmackDown. They were screaming his name and booed out of the building when he got eliminated from the Andre Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So I'm picking LA Knight. If Logan Paul wins, you'll all hear me screaming. I won't even be home to watch this. I'll hopefully be with Britt. So, yeah, LA Knight. Mike, tell me why Logan Paul's going to win. Just tell me.
Well, you already answered it because Logan Paul's not going to be there. Logan Paul's going to be on ESPN. Logan Paul is going to be on his podcast. Logan Paul's going to be everywhere with that Money in the Bank briefcase with the big giant WWE logo on it behind him, and he's going to be doing a ton of free publicity. But let's ignore that. Look, and you can check the tapes. Find someone who's been on the LA Knight train longer than I have. I dare you.
Maybe Wittes. Maybe Wittes.
Maybe yeah, Wittes, and that's cool.
Matt Wittes.
Maybe
Wittes.
But here's what I ask you. LA Knight wins the Money in the Bank briefcase. Mm-hmm. What does he do with it? Who does he cash it in on? Does he cash it in successfully, and how does that help him?
He won't cash in right away. He'll cash in on Seth successfully.
Okay. So LA Knight is going to cash in. LA Knight, the guy that all the fans are behind, the heel that's really a babyface, is going to cash it in on Seth Rollins, one of the most over babyfaces in the company. And that's going to help LA Knight.
Because, like I said, it's not happening right away. Rollins will lose the momentum.
You're right. That makes so much more sense.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that makes so much more sense than Logan Paul winning, whose only two major losses in the last year have been to the two title holders, who has more clout in the world of social media than anybody, including your boy, who can carry that briefcase, who can be a constant threat to it, who doesn't have to show up, who anytime he does show up will be a surprise, will be a major event, will be a moment, will be a reason why we have to tune in to both Monday and Friday because he's not beholden to a certain day. This is Logan Paul all day, every day. You can check the tapes. I've been doing it for 2 months. This is and again, it's going to break my heart because I love LA Knight.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why anybody other than Logan Paul wins this. And I've been saying it since the beginning of April. Period. Done. Logan Paul wins.
Also, I don't know which one of my boys you're talking about because Daniel Garcia is pretty over on the Twitterverse.
Yeah, he's one of the best losers in AEW. But I was talking about Seth Rollins. My point is, so LA Knight is going to cash in on Seth Rollins successfully, whether that's in a month or 11 months or whenever. That's going to make LA Knight more popular.
Okay, I'm done with you talking. Rob, why don't you go ahead and tell us you're also wrong? Because I'm sure
comments,
you're not going to pick
the
Paul
comments are loving Mike today. Dan in the chat saying, damn you, Mike, for making sense. People saying Knight doesn't need the case. Knight will almost win. Logan will cost him the match. Yeah, the comments are coming in. Very interesting. Remember, Vince added Theory last year. Yeah, we talked about this. This year, we have Logan Paul added. Mike, I think you bring up some great points. This is all very, very interesting. Again, Mike is making a lot of sense in the chat. Mike is on fire. This, we got to make the Mike t-shirts. Here we go. Kimmy's not about it.
I'll buy one.
You're going to make a Mike t-shirt before a Kimmy t-shirt. I've been on this show longer and have hosted it more and have done a lot more.
How about a
Mike,
Mike versus Kimmy t-shirt?
No, ooh. I'm still waiting on my Kimmy takeover shirt. So what the hell is the holdup? I've been waiting 6 months for this.
What was I thinking?
Champ will get a shirt before me.
The champ shirts, the puppy shirts, they are already in the works. It's already a thing.
Champ,
you're not wrong.
You need to wear one. You need to make sure that you get the picture in it.
We need the CM Punk Larry shirt, but with Champ.
Done. Brilliant.
I'm buying
Brilliant.
It.
Dan,
this is why you're not a graphic designer.
Dan in the chat saying Kimmy doesn't know GoldenEye. She gets zero shirts. No, stop. Kimmy gets a shirt. Everybody gets a shirt. You get a shirt. What were we?
Oh, you're Oprah now.
Yeah. What were we talking about here?
The men's money in the bank. Give me a winner.
I will add this. Champ should have all the shirts. I agree. I will say this. Mike had some really good points. Also, add in the fact that now apparently you can cash in this briefcase for the US title, the IC title. Apparently that's a thing now. So that is, again, stats analytics. That is part of the equation as well now. I think Mike brings up a great point in the fact that if LA Knight wins, if let's go with Logan Paul, which probably is going to happen. If he wins, he's already faced Seth. He's already faced Roman. That's the whole thing about it, but you make, just in terms of, you know, if it makes dollars, it makes sense, as they say, you know? But if he has that briefcase, it's going to be everywhere, and I'm giving Mike credit on this. He called Logan Paul being in this match, a couple months ago? I have it screenshotted in a chat. I'll have to post it. He called it a long time ago, so he's very confident in Logan Paul. LA Knight, I agree with some of the comments in the chat. I don't think he needs it. He would have a lot of fun carrying it around and you know, cutting promos on people, but I don't see him dethroning Seth. I think that would devalue that title unless it was like a long time down the line. It would have to be done a certain way. I don't see LA Knight being the guy dethroning Roman unless he's, you know, cashes it in on a US title, an Intercontinental Championship or something like that.
The
NXT,
only person,
whatever, yeah.
The only person LA Knight cashes it in on is Austin Theory, and he does not need the belt to do that.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't need the briefcase to do that.
I'm lost on this one, but I think it is between those two guys. And that being said, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
That was horrible. And I'm going to read a comment because I agree with Bubba John, who says the BCP crew ladder match, winner gets their own shirt. Hate to break it to you all. I'm a win. I don't even care if the dog's in it. I'm gonna beat the dog. I'm gonna beat all of you. You can throw all the BCP
names
in there.
I love how Kimmy says, I'm not a heel, and then in the same breath says, I'm gonna beat a puppy.
You even got mine in the picture. Like, what just happened?
Doggy!
Look at this. He's like, no.
What's your doggy's name again?
Sammy.
Sorry, my voice gets higher instantly.
That's okay. I do the team like, yeah, he came over here immediately. Kimmy, look what you did.
Can Sammy host the
match? My money's on Sammy to win the match.
He can, right, buddy?
That's where the smart money is. Mm-hmm.
I heard he put Sting through a table.
Amanda, who do you got?
You're not the host. The hell is wrong with you? I had a nice segue. Never mind. Go, Amanda, since Mike seems to be hosting now.
Well, I was thinking it was going to be LA Knight until Logan Paul got added. And You know, I was not crazy about it at first, but I don't hate it right now because I don't want LA Knight to get fed. And I feel like he would, if he wanted, he'd cash in on either Roman or Seth. Like he's getting there. The fans love him. The fans, like, I mean, I love him. He's cutting fire promos. He knows how to wrestle. Like, I mean, the guy has everything you can ask for. But, and just for that, I don't want him to be fed. Because I know that's exactly what would happen. Because you have two behemoths in Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns that are holding the title. And you need somebody who can be a bigger behemoth than they can. And not that LA Knight can't, but at this juncture in his career, he's not quite there yet. I think he could absolutely get there. I could see him being world champ. For absolute sure, he should. But you need somebody who has the clout that can go up against and survive being fed to Roman or Seth. And LA Knight would not be able to survive that right now. And, you know, again, I would love for him to win, but at the same time, I want him to enjoy this, to have this, to have the fans behind him, to have the momentum, to continue to let that build organically. And no matter what title he's challenging for, you know, if he's going for, maybe we'll see him go up against Gunther. Who knows? Like, you know, it just, he can survive. He's got the fans behind him. He can survive it. Whereas I feel like, you know, Logan Paul, not only, like Mike says, would bring the publicity, would bring the eye, whether you like him or don't. Again, he's not my favorite person, but he delivers. He knows he can do he does a decent job in the ring. And even, you know, he's going to give us some cool spots. You know, he's out there. He's in the public eye. But he can survive cashing in and being unsuccessful. Because no matter what, people are going to talk about it. People are going to tune into him. And, you know, people are going to be happy. Like, I'm like, heck, I was happy he went. You know, it's like, I'll be happy if he loses again. It's fine. But he can survive that. And he, you know, and it still brings the prestige. It's still going to bring the eyes to whichever title holder he challenges. He can survive it. Whereas LA Knight, he has the momentum right now. Let's just let it keep going. Let's not let it die by letting him be fed to Roman or to Seth. Because that's what would happen. If he won, he would not, his cash-in would not be successful. And Logan can handle an unsuccessful cash-in.
I want to make one more point before we get out of here.
Sure, go right ahead. This seems to be the mic takeover at this point.
It sure is. Unsuccessful Money in the Bank cash-ins, and I want you to tell me who benefited from winning Money in the Bank and losing on their cash-in.
Are you
John Cena, Raw 1000 against CM Punk, never main evented a top four pay-per-view after that. Damian Sandow, 2013, on John Cena, was released less than 2 years after that. Baron Corbin, 2016, one of the biggest downfalls ever from his debut.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure Tuesday night on NXT, him in the main event, actually was like the highest viewership for NXT.
We're counting NXT. Braun Strowman, Hell in a Cell 2018 on Roman Reigns, has never touched the main event picture since. And The Miz, who cashed in kind of successfully, but then lost immediately to Bobby Lashley in TLC 2020. I don't think he's won a match since then. So biggest point being, you do not benefit as an up-and-comer from winning Money in the Bank and cashing in unsuccessfully. That is what LA Knight will do. It will bury him. Don't touch it. He doesn't need it.
The biggest thing I learned is that you were so petty enough to literally Google that to prove me wrong. That you had to go on Google.
Hey, you know what? stats are stats, but there's always an exception to the rule. You know, we'll have to find out and see what happens on Saturday.
Numbers don't lie, and neither do I.
I think you do. Well, I won't be here in August, so I know everyone's so upset about that. I know. Everyone's crying. I'm not going to be here for SummerSlam. It's okay, guys. I'm going to be in Bermuda.
Okay.
We're all going to survive.
Things happen in Bermuda.
Well, I've been there several times, and I'm still here. So clearly the Bermuda Triangle never caught me. I'm normal. You're
weird.
You live in Detroit.
Someone booked the match.
By choice. By choice.
again. Oh, you live in Detroit.
Take it home, Kimmy.
Anyway,
take it home.
I'm gonna talk
take us home, Kimmy.
Okay. You're going last now. Screw you. So all these people here do really cool things besides Mike. So Rob, why don't you tell us all about the BCP, your indie shows, our commentary duo, Mr. Bellini calling me a Muppet at my graduation party, all that fun stuff.
Well, everyone check out GoldenEye 64, one of the best games of all time. That more GoldenEye comments in the chat. Guys, great show. Thank you for all the comments, guys. If you like what you're seeing over here on Facebook, go over to the BCP YouTube, subscribe, hit that notifications button. We have lots of great interviews. Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters, Johnny Gargano, one of our favorite interviews. It might make you cry because it makes me cry every single time. Kimmy, great job hosting. I'll be doing commentary with Kimmy over at Warriors of Wrestling. I believe it's July 8th. What is it? Fun Station, Staten Island, Ultimate Survivor, I believe it is. A Rumble style event. That's going to be a lot of fun. Some good matches. Charlie Haas is going to be there, correct?
He is going to be in action. I don't know against two. Alicia Edwards will be facing your WOW Women Champion Zeta Steel as she continues her Summer of Steel. And we are crowning a number one contender for the 16th anniversary show in December. Who will be facing, as of right now, Darius Carter, because, you know, things could change between now and December.
He's pretty good.
We have, for the first time ever in Warriors history, we have a cause and effect match. By the way, I saw Max Bean today. He made fun of me, and he wanted me to take a bump in the ring.
No, don't do it.
I didn't. I got called a coward for not doing it.
No, don't do it. We stay behind the commentary table. It's a lot. Most times, it's a lot safer back there. Check out Warriors of Wrestling. I also help with the YouTube over at ISPW Wrestling. Go over there on YouTube and subscribe. A lot of fun stuff with the up and coming superstars of ISPW. Maven's on there a lot. La Greca, Tommy Dreamer, some great match. Crowbar is doing crazy stuff. Check out Crowbar, of course, the Vicious One. Go over there and subscribe right now. Some great videos, and yeah, check out the BCP. Oh, lots of good stuff coming up on Pop Break, interviewing one of my favorite bands, should be up soon. AEW Fight Forever review. I went to the International Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. That'll be up very soon, and a lot more exciting stuff. I will stop talking now.
Thank God. Amanda tells all about the socially distanced podcast. Y'all do cool things over there that I also don't understand because that's pop culture and I don't really do that.
You should. Pop culture is great. You know, we, of course, our pod airs on Fridays. We talk about all the cool pop culture things in terms of TV shows, movies, comics, anything Star Wars related. We're covering actually Secret Invasion right now, which is fantastic if y'all haven't started watching it. First two episodes have been great. Spoiler alert. And just all the things. So tune in, check us out. We have some fun things in the works. Yes, we will be sharing our thoughts on the Barbie movie when that comes out, because I'm excited to see it. So yeah. So yes, I am one of the co-hosts along with Bill Botkin and Al Manarino. And so very, very, very happy, very blessed, and just love podcasting with my fam. Love being here too. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. It's the best thing in the world is podcasting. You guys are amazing. I'm going to put in a plug for one of our promotions that is having a show on Sunday. You can stream it on Title Match, River City Wrestling. We have some exciting matches lined up on the card there, including my own, you know, my own heel wrestler that I have here at home. He's going up and he's with part of the Flocking Brawlers against, oh gosh, he's two of the biggest guys from the DFW cartel. But one of our champion, our reigning defending champion, Khan, who has been on Ring of Honor and AEW, is defending his title against the DFW cartel's Lugatti. We have our Phoenix championship on the line. Our tag titles are on the line. It's going to be a great card to support local wrestling because you never know who you're going to see that's going to pop up on AEW or WWE, NXT, all the good things. So support your local people everywhere. Doesn't matter whether you're here in Texas, doesn't matter whether you're up north, support your local wrestlers, support your promoters, support your production people, support all the love for all indie wrestling. So that's it. That's it for me. And you guys can find me on Instagram under Amanda Lorien. And yes, I am on Twitter. I finally caved. I am at Reznor's Chick. I love Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails forever. R-E-Z-N-O-R-S-C-H-I-C. So Check us out. And then, of course, follow us at The Pop Break on our all social media platforms as well. Thanks for having me.
Yo, Khan is the truth. His muscles have muscles. That guy.
Seriously.
Dude.
We are spoiled. Get him here.
Dude, yeah, he's great. Kelvin in the chat saying, I'll be at that show, Amanda. That's so cool. That's awesome.
All right.
If you see me, I'm usually in the front row, so come say hi.
Awesome.
I will say that Khan and the embassy are undefeated right now in the world of Ring of Honor. They're doing some scary things. Brian Cage, I believe, is like 27-0. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? Imagine our world champion's returning tomorrow for the first time in weeks. Good job, Claudio, for showing up to work. He hasn't been on Ring of Honor in 2 months. Who's counting? I'm not. Also, Amanda, I heard you're friends with Izzy now. Are you wearing your bracelet?
Yeah, we're best friends. I actually have it on my counter. I'll have to go run and get it. But yes, she is fantastic. She is training down here at the Hybrid School of Wrestling. So we're excited to see her at Mission Pro Wrestling we're almost in July, but in August, she is going to be making her debut. And so she's great. Izzy, lots of love.
Against my very good friend, Jasmine Allure. That should be an amazing match. Okay, Mike, tell us. I don't really know what you do anymore. Tell us about it.
I do some stuff, mainly for The Pop Break. Kimmy and I get to write our little articles and have fun. We get to be on the Pop Culture Podcast. Do want to give a few shout-outs. First of all, on the East Coast, I want to give a shout-out to Leo Sparrow, the son of the sun, the Earth champion, who I think will be the next ISPW world champion. I think he's more than ready. He's had, to me, the hottest year on the indie scenes as far as 2023 goes. Dude is just unstoppable. He's great. He had a great match with MJF not too long ago. So I think he's more than ready to take that on. And I'm bummed that Rick Recon had to give it up, but I think a better interim champion you could not find. In the Midwest, I want to give a quick shout out to two people that I've really started to come along with recently. Mr. Permfection, Sam Beal, best perm in the game. And Percy Drews, the party boy. Both of them doing XIPW, MIW, different stuff throughout the Midwest. Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, doing great stuff there. I get to go see them in the next couple weeks. They're going to be doing local shows that I'm very excited to get to go see. But for the most part, I'm on Sweet Chin Musings with my boy Luke. We talk about most things AEW and WWE. We touch on some indie promotions happening throughout the Midwest. But for the most part, we stick to the big ones and we have a lot of fun. And as always, Rob, Kimmy, Amanda, it's a great pleasure for you all to have me here. And I can't wait to do it again.
It is.
Again. No one said that. Okay. So I'm going to Excalibur this because the star is tired and the star has to send Team Mike versus Team Kimmy, which I didn't write yet. Isn't that wonderful? So I'm actually taking over the Pop Break Twitter next week. So much fun for me. Oh my God. Yay. I know what I'm doing, but you know, so I'll be there. This weekend, as of right now. And I don't know anything, so stop asking me because I've already gotten it. As of right now, I'm working with Britt. I don't know if that is changing. I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping she's okay. The sign that Adam was on tonight, it gives me a little bit of hope. Also this weekend, there's a lot of people that are going to be there. Vicious Vicky's going to be there. Lita's going to be there. Sammy, hi. Nia Jax. There's going to be over 60 talent. My future husband, Daniel Garcia, will be there. That should just be the price of admission. Now, there's also a show afterwards. It's called Battleground Championship Wrestling. It is. Someone's leaving the 2300 arena for the last time ever. It's either going to be Matt Cardona or it's going to be Bully Ray. So you should go check out Icons Wrestling if you're in the Philadelphia area because I'm there. That's also just the price of admission. Daniel Garcia and myself. Price of admission. Also, I write a million things for the Pop Break, including Team Mike versus Team Kimmy. I do Ring of Honor articles weekly where I talk all about the embassy because, like I said, they just can't stop winning for no apparent reason. Again, our champion showed up for the first time in 2 months. Way to go, Claudio. So proud of you. Again, it's literally been 2 months. I've been very angry about this. So you can go check that out. Or like any other time I want to rant about wrestling, Bill lets me write it. So that's fun. You could also listen to my Ring of Honor podcast, All Things Honor, on YouTube and Spotify. I didn't record an episode last week, but that's okay because we're going to record one this week. Warriors Wrestling, I'll be there July 8th. Like I said, Max Bane. Mr. Bellini called me Skeeter. He thinks I look like Skeeter and I'm a Muppet. He said this this in front of my friends, and all my friends changed the picture of Skeeter to their contact photo. So this is absolutely ridiculous. I feel abused. I feel unsafe at work. So stop, Amanda, you can't agree with them, Amanda.
I'm like, wow. Skeeter.
That's
oh,
deep cut.
My gosh.
Yeah, Skeeter.
That's savage.
It's another reference that's way too old for Kimmy.
I was about to say,
the Muppet Babies. Okay. The Muppet Babies was great.
Okay. I did like the Muppet Show. That was a good show.
Better than Fraggle Rock ever will be.
Hold on.
Okay, hold on.
Let's pump the brakes on that.
Oh, their heel turn. Kimmy.
I don't like Fraggle Rock. That's the first. You know what? You should all do a socially distanced episode on Fraggle Rock. I'll come on that one and I'll trash Fraggle Rock.
The chat ain't happy about the Fraggle Rock. That theme song, though. That theme song.
Thank you, chat.
No. Y'all ridiculous. That's pretty much it for me. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm close to 1,000 followers. It's Kimmy_Sokol. And like I said, sadly, I won't be here in August. I know you're all really upset about it, but I'll be back in September to make you all smile again. And from everyone here at the BCP, stay safe. Stay positive. I forgot the last one.
Take care
of
each other.
But we're out.
Take care of each other. We out. Peace. Happy birthday, Bruno. We out.